If we're gonna have the energy of Julia pinning Zelina, who is a crown champion, can we have the same energy for Fraxium pinning the Street Profits on their, was it their debut match?
Oh my god, I'm Smackdown so glad you brought that up.
Against Street Profits, newly crowned tag team champions.
Before that, I believe. They had like one or two matches before that.
Well, they're still fucking new teams from a developmental program, are they not? So if we're going with that logic, where's the energy for that?
I'm so glad you brought that up, BT, because I was literally, I forgot to bring this up. Even after tonight, because the White Six return, Fraxium is still undefeated. They have not been pinned in the main roster. They're still 4-0. They're getting pushed to the moon, Fraxium is right now, which I think is crazy.
And one of the teams that they beat, were the crown champions in the Street Profits, who hadn't, at the time, probably hadn't even held the title for like a month.
Right, but I think the reason for that is, if you remember correctly, a week before Axiom defeated the Street Profits, the Street Profits were in that really crazy ladder match, so they were still selling a lot of the injuries from the ladder match, and that's how they were able to get the upper hand on the Street Profits,
but
still.
It basically was a way to protect them in the finish. If you're going to have, and I said this, if you're going to have somebody who is new or trying to get over, pin a crowned champion on, and again, you got to understand analytics of pro wrestling, guys. Free TV. The whole reason pay-per-views exist is so you can charge money for people to see the big win. Not give it away unless you are really trying to pop a rating out of nowhere like Io versus Rhea, where it was a surprise. No one thought Io was beating her that night. So it's one of those things where if you're going to do it, you have to protect them in the finish. The champions need to be protected in the finish. You can't call everything a fluke. So there needs to be a reason the champion was able to lose. Not just fucking pin them clean for no fucking reason, because it dilutes their championship reign. It's free TV. That means something in analytics. It means something to a viewer going, oh shit, they must, maybe they don't believe in Zelina as much as I thought they did. They just pinned her on SmackDown in an opening match. Like, that's what your brain goes to.
I don't think they do. Tommy, so, anything else you want to add?
I know we brought up Chelsea Green, which is why I'm saying this, and this drives me insane. The first women's match you're going to add onto the Saturday night's main event card, you're adding the night before Saturday night's main event?
Oh, what'd they add? I didn't even see that.
Zelina Vega versus Chelsea Green for the United States title.
Oh, I hope Chelsea Green wins it back. Oh, I hope she wins
night
it back.
Before the basic house show is essentially what the damn thing is. But a premium live event nonetheless, you are adding the only women's match the night before?
What's wrong with that?
If I'm Zelina Vega, I'm fucking worried that, hey, you had me eat the pin last night. If you put that title, have me drop that title back to Chelsea the next night, two back-to-back losses in 24 hours, and one of them is a championship loss, and one of them is losing to a new up-and-comer, I'm wondering if you got a problem with me and if my contract's getting released here pretty soon. That's what I'm going to start thinking. What the fuck did I do wrong?
If I'm Zelina, I'm grateful I even got to be champion for a month.
I am looking at it in this Fair. Way. That when it comes to SmackDown and the women's division, they have... That is legitimately the amount of confidence they have in the women's division when it comes to SmackDown. Almost none, to the point where they waited to put a SmackDown match in the women's division until night before the premium live event. Literally the night before.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's a problem for you, Tommy.
I mean, they've done that many times, though, Tommy. To be fair, there are many times where they've been like, you know what? Screw it. You want a match tomorrow? You want a match? Fine. Then it's on. You two one-on-one at yada, 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 tomorrow night. It's official. Like, they've done last-minute booking matches.
Yeah, I feel like whenever we have a...
It drives me crazy.
But it's I understand.
It was almost but it's not a PLE.
Hold on. One at a time. Go ahead, Tommy.
It's not a PLE, though. That's the thing, Tommy. It's not a PLE. They've made it clear that they have made it very clear after the first time they brought it back last year, Saturday night main events are not PLEs. They are TV specials. They do not consider them PLEs.
Also, just really quick, even if it was or it wasn't a PLE, I feel like we usually say, okay, we have a Raw and a SmackDown coming up. They might still add matches on those two shows before the weekend pay-per-view. So I'm not surprised that they added another match last minute.
What drives me crazy is not the fact that it was a last-minute decision. I get that. It's mainly the fact that it was almost an all-male card before this match came in.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they added it.
Yeah, people would flip out about that.
No, your man Soto, during this match, he flat out mentioned that it was almost an entire male card. It's just like, oh, here's the last match on the card, and it is the only women's match on the card.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
because it's the only match that already has a story for the women's division, quote unquote, fleshed out, built for it. That's why they threw it on there. They're still cooking everything else. So they were like, hey, Zelina, hey, Chelsea, y'all have been feuding for like a month and a week. You're on tomorrow night. Like, yeah.
Know, like... No, I mean, to be fair, Zelina Vega has been feuding with Chelsea Green and her crew the entire time. So it wasn't just thrown together last minute. They've been
almost her entire United States title reign.
Yeah.
Chelsea Green
has only been wrestling the Piper Niven and the other girl, the Secret Purvis or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Alba Fire.
Yeah, so this isn't just like, oh, let's just throw it in there. I would have been okay if they left it out of Saturday night's main event, to be honest. I was cool with just those four matches, but in the year of 2025, you can't do that.
The internet keyboard warriors. Yeah. Ugh, such a sexist company.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you guys probably are right that the only reason why they added it is because of the fact that it was an all-male card beforehand.
All right, let's talk about let's move on here. I want to talk about the Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and JC Mateo. That's so fucking weird. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but I'm not really a fan of that nickname, but we finally heard some of Jacob Fatu's feelings when it comes to Jeff Cobb joining Solo Sikoa and their group. Jacob Fatu, let it be known, you're not family. I don't know you. I don't trust you. And, you know, that pretty much tells me Jacob Fatu, Jeff Cobb, he's not going to be presented as like another Samoan, another family member, part of the bloodline. So they made that clear tonight. And there's tension between Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb. Could these two get along? Well, we were supposed to find out because they were going to have a tag team match versus Rey Fénix and Jimmy Uso, which was one hell of a tag team match. And right before the match, Solo Sikoa was trying his best to get these two on the same page. And it looked like Jacob Fatu wasn't really having it. They walked to the ring, and on their way to the ring, they stared down the Street Profits. And I'm thinking, okay, now that's a match I would like to see. Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb or JC Mateo versus the Street Profits or versus any other tag team for that matter. So we go on to the match. The tag team match was great, and they did. They ended up working well together, Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb did, which that can be bad news for the tag team division. Jacob Fatu is already a monster by himself. Jeff Cobb, he's also a monster. If they build up Jeff Cobb the way that they build up Jacob Fatu and they put them together in this tag team, holy shit, that's going to be one fucking crazy tag team if they can get along. So they're still kind of in the middle of, you know, are they going to get along? Maybe not. We'll see. But they got the win tonight over Rey Fénix and Jimmy Uso, who also worked really well together. Jimmy Uso being in a tag team for many, many years, he pretty much works well with everybody. It was one hell of a tag team match. And then after the match, we saw another segment where Nick Aldis announced that Jacob Fatu is going to be part of the Money in the Bank qualifying matches. So we saw a whole lot of the United States champion, Jacob Fatu. We saw a whole lot of Solo as well as JC Mateo. So I'm really pumped for what's happening here with Jacob Fatu and all of this. But what did you think? Who's up? I believe we got Tommy, right?
Yeah, it's me. So I will say, and I do love this little thing. During that backstage thing, Jacob finally said, "I love you, Solo." And I love Solo's response of, like, only took 6 months. Like, I laughed a little bit at that. And just, like, sad part is he's not wrong. He's really not wrong. It took him 6 months to say that again. And with the announcement that Jacob will be going up against Carmelo Hayes, and I cannot remember for the life of me who the third guy is, but I know it's Jacob, Carmelo, and
yeah, someone. I don't remember.
It's clear that Jacob is going to win that, which makes me think, is it going to happen at Money in the Bank?
What?
We have been talking about this turn. And if both men are in the Money in the Bank match, is it going to happen at Money in the Bank?
You're talking Solo winning and cashing in on Solo?
No, I'm talking about if Jacob Fatu wins next week to qualify for the Money in the Bank match, like Solo has already done. Is Money in the Bank going to be the moment where Solo decides, or Jacob decides, fuck it, and just turns?
Nah, I don't think so.
I mean, this is for a title match anytime they please.
Yeah, I mean, that's assuming Jacob Fatu even wins.
He's going up against Carmelo Hayes and someone I can't even fucking remember. He's going to smash right through him. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's
Jacob
we'll see.
Fatu, who still has yet to be pinned, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, my guess is he's still going to smash right through. And he will qualify for the Money in the Bank. I almost guarantee it at this point. The match itself, it was more of, hey, here's another tag match featuring Jimmy. I'm glad that Jimmy isn't, like, too injured from his last injury. Like, I know he just had a match last week for the Money in the Bank qualifying against Solo. But I will say this. It was a decent match. I probably would not put it as match of the night. Honestly, I would say it's up there. But I would not say match of the night. I just wouldn't. I also love the fact that, and Joe Tessitore did call this out. Solo still trying to entice Jimmy in. It's like, hey, you can still come home. Just join me. You can still come home and come back to the family. Just join me. The fact that he's still trying to do that, even though it's highly clear that Jimmy Uso is not coming back to the family. He's just not. He's not going to join Solo. He's just not. But I just love the fact that he's still trying to entice him in. Because it truly shows how much he desires Jimmy to be into the group, even though he knows that that's most likely never going to happen. It's just not. He wants it so bad, but it's not going to happen. And I love that.
With Jacob most likely qualifying for Money in the Bank next week, and Solo Sikoa basically being in Money in the Bank, I just came up with a prediction, but it also ties in with LA Knight qualifying for Money in the Bank, which happened tonight. And LA Knight has recently been stuck in the Bloodline vortex. What if Solo turning on Jacob, or Jacob turning on Solo, helps LA Knight escape that vortex, because they'll be focusing on each other, and that gives LA Knight a chance. I'm not saying he's going to win the briefcase, but a chance to get the briefcase. He may not win it, and I'll be fine with that. But it gives him some fresh air to try to win it. My heart fully believes, depending on who's going to be announced for the qualifying matches for Monday Night Raw, that Karrion Kross needs to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. I want to see that happen. Because recently I've become a bit of a Karrion Kross fan. But if they pull that angle off during the Money in the Bank match, if Jacob qualifies, that is, you have no idea how excited I would be. You have no idea. You have no fucking idea, bro. I would lose my shit. I'm not saying LA Knight's gonna win it, but just this minuscule chance could break him out of that Bloodline vortex for good. That's my hot take. That's my prediction. I'll leave it at that.
So as far as concerned, like, match was pretty decent. I wouldn't say it's match tonight. I think match tonight was definitely the, LA Knight, I think LA Knight, Shinsuke, and Aleister Black was match of the night, in my opinion. But this was still a really good match. I've said this before, a crowd makes or breaks a show, in my opinion. And this crowd, I think, made this match better than it would have been with a lesser crowd. But I think that the match was good. I like that they keep, putting in those seeds of dissension between Solo and Jacob, keep telling that story. I like that the JC Mateo thread is adding new layers of dissension. I hate the fucking nickname, but I think the reason they called him JC Mateo and not Jeff Cobb is because, I'm trying to remember if Tommy said this or somebody said this, but Jeff Cobb just sounds too close to Jacob. Jeff Cobb. They probably wanted to put their own WWE spin on it so they can own his name for licensing. It's probably why they changed it, so they can own the name that he's utilizing. so it's synonymous with them. That being said, JC Mateo, it's not a mouthful, but it does not roll off the tongue. I'm sorry. It's just, it's a terrible fucking, drop the last name. Call him JC or call him Jeff Mateo. Call him Cobb, whatever. Or just call him fucking Jeff Cobb. That being said, the right team won. I just wish it would stop being at the expense of Jimmy. Really sick and tired of Jimmy kind of being on the short end of a lot of these fucking sticks. That being said, the more and more I see Jimmy wrestle without Jay, the more I feel like he's coming into his own. So I'm very happy to see Jimmy getting the spotlight so he's not just the Marty Jannetty. You know what I'm saying? Because when Marty Jannetty and Sean split, Jannetty backslid into obscurity very quickly, and I'm glad that Jimmy is getting to still stay in the spotlight, still getting to be a part of stories, still getting to be used because he deserves it after all the effort and work he's put in this company for fucking 15 plus years. When it comes to how this affects Money in the Bank specifically, I changed my stance a little bit on what I said the last time we were on a live together, where I said I definitely think the next thing we need to do with LA Knight is have him in Money in the Bank and then move him closer to the world title picture. I stand by that. Even though I said I don't think he should win, the closer we get to this thing and after tonight, I think for certain two things happen. I think Solo and Jacob squabbling over who's going to climb the ladder is for the family. You already got a title. Let me. I brought you into this. You owe me, from Jacob. And I, from Solo. And Jacob's going to be like, man, you know, like he's going to be doing this whole thing. All gas, no brakes with it. You know, I don't owe you shit, yada, 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 yada. If it's for the family, why does it matter who wins, kind of thing. I think that's going to be enough of a distraction where they do turn on each other in the match because it is all in all. I don't think it breaks them up that night, but I think it leads to the further conversation of when they do eventually split, and it will definitely be a thread we get that next SmackDown. But I think they're going to take each other out and bah, 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 yeah. I think LA Knight's winning that briefcase now. After seeing this, I can see why Jacob and Solo are enticing for storyline purposes, but I think that's a MacGuffin to distract from the fact that I think that's going to be LA Knight's night. So, because the way I see it, the longer I think about the Cena title run and the longer these stories circle around without him around, and what I really think about, you know, the person who beats him needs to really benefit from it. I really do not believe Cody needs to win it back from John. I don't believe he needs that. I think John needs to put over somebody new and somebody who's going to really benefit from the win, who already has built-in character and story with him. And I think these matches tonight really helped paint that picture, because I think, this is just my take, and pardon me when I say I told you so, if it happens, mark my words on this night, I said it. If it happens, I think LA Knight is the person cashing in and taking that title off of John Cena. I think John Cena drops that title to LA Knight. I truly believe it now. The closer we're getting to Money in the Bank, there's just something in the, I feel it. And I feel that Jacob and Solo's stories are intertwining with LA Knight's ascension. So those are my thoughts.
I agree with everything that Mr. Blood said, but there's a small problem. Remember last year how we said, oh, it's going to be Jay. Jay has been the one that's like, oh, he's been the hottest right now in this match. And then McIntyre fucks him over. That's what we're thinking about with LA Knight right now. We're thinking, oh, he's the one that deserves it the most. He's the one that's the most over right now in this match. Like, going into this match. But there's just going to be someone that fucks him over. And I highly assure you, it's either one of the up-and-coming people from Raw that qualify, or Solo or Jacob.
Here's the reason I think that When I say LA, it's for a whole other reason. Triple H's booking has a certain pattern to it. He knows how to build stars, but he has this habit of capitalizing on them a little too late. And 2 years ago, he missed the mark capitalizing on LA. And he finally capitalized and pulled the trigger on Jay this year when he could have done it nearly 2 years ago when they first brought Jay to Raw. That's why I have a feeling it's LA. He knows that he missed the train on that one, and now the train's coming back to the station. And I think LA Knight's getting on because Triple H knows we want a champion that has crowd connection, built-in merch, built-in relations, great look, great body, and he's not getting younger, so why not?
But anyways, away from that negative, the negative side, I think it's LA. I think it's, if it's not LA, Triple H could pull a Jey Uso. Like, Jey lost the Money in the Bank last year, so close, but lost it, and then won the next year's Royal Rumble. I could see not LA. I could see Triple H pulling some bullshit like that, and then just waiting too long to pull the trigger on LA Knight. Or third time's the charm. This is LA Knight's third Money in the Bank match. Third time's the charm. He could do it this time. So I'm on board with whatever Blood said.
Hey BT, you'll enjoy this wording. I can see the headlines now. It'll be LA Knights, Los Angeles Knight. I can see the headlines now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with LA Knight. But one thing's for sure that Mr. Blood was right is, you know, we were wondering what's going to happen with LA Knight after, what was it that we were talking about? I think the last time he had a big match, he lost. And we're like, what happens with him? Well, he's going to go into Money in the Bank. And that's what they're doing. But I want to talk about this next thing right here. Was one of my favorite things that happened tonight. And I'm talking about the R-Truth promo. I got to defend this, you guys, because R-Truth, he's been getting some heat from some of the fans. Oh, how is this joke comedian wrestler going to be facing John Cena at Saturday night's main event as one of the matches of, you know, John Cena's farewell tour? And yes, R-Truth has been a comedy joke wrestler, 500-time 24/7 champion, 7-Eleven, whatever he used to call himself, right? But the people, we love R-Truth so much, and we can believe that R-Truth is heartbroken. We can believe that R-Truth, he's, you know, he misses his hero, like he says it tonight. He's pretty much representing all the little kids that John Cena has been talking shit to, I feel like, you know. He's serious. This is a serious R-Truth, and I'm with it, man. Like, this kind of reminds me of, like, this is like the modern day version of Eugene, I feel like. You know, you love Eugene. I mean, for the people that remember who Eugene is, you can't not hate him. And that's how I feel when I see R-Truth. I genuinely feel bad for R-Truth. So I really want to see this match because I can get behind R-Truth. And I want to see, like, what's going to happen with this match. But I really enjoyed this promo by him tonight on SmackDown. BT, you're up this time, I believe. What did you think about the R-Truth promo?
I loved it. And for the people who say that R-Truth shouldn't be wrestling John Cena, you just don't fucking understand entertainment. You're just a boring son of a bitch who just can't fucking enjoy anything. Where is this hatred come from? The same guy that makes us laugh our asses off every single fucking time, every single fucking week. I hear you motherfuckers praising this man that he should be protected at all cost. And this is how you treat him? Because John Cena's your favorite. Go fuck yourselves. As far as it's concerned, sorry to take a quote from Mr. Blood himself, but as far as it's concerned, the promo, I believed every single word that he said. How heartbroken he is. Even when he did his interview with Wade Barrett the other week, when he said, that wasn't John Cena who AA'd me through the press conference table. I believe him. I believe how heartbroken he is. I don't know how accurate this is, but I saw a meme that said, R-Truth is that one autistic kid that doesn't know how to control his emotions when something traumatic happens. And I can agree with that. I've had a lot of traumatizing things happen to me in my life, and I don't know a lot how to control my emotions. Like, they go all over the place. My mind just goes into a frenzy. I fully understand where R-Truth is coming from in this promo and the interview with Wade Barrett. He is still, he wants to help his hero. Even though he's older than John, he wants to help his childhood hero, bro. The part that really got me excited, though, was when he said that he's going to beat the ever-living hustle, loyalty, and respect out of his ass. This is the truth that I have been wanting to see for quite some time, bro. That wasn't our truth that was talking. That was Ron Killings, bro. That was Ron. That wasn't our truth. That was Ron. And at Saturday night's main event, that is exactly who we're getting. We're getting Ron versus John. Ron versus John for Saturday night's main event. I am telling you, this will be the best match out of John Cena's entire title reign. That is my hot take. That is another hot take. This match is going to be the best match of John Cena's entire title reign, and R-Truth is going to be the one that's carrying it. I'm telling you. Off of entertainment alone, it's going to be the best match of his entire title reign. Let's go, Ron. Let's bring John Cena back. What's up?
Yeah, so I loved this too, but I loved it for a different reason, because so many people, so BT was not a wrestling fan for this. Tommy was not a wrestling fan for this. In fact, what I'm about to mention, Tommy was only 5 years old and Toxic was 2 when John Cena last feuded with R-Truth. And people are going to be like, wait a second. Hold on. You were not 7 because you're only 21. So this happened in 2012 or 11, I believe, when R-Truth and The Miz, Awesome Truth, went up against, at Survivor Series that year, John Cena and The Rock in a tag team match. Back when R-Truth was still doing the Little Jimmy gimmick. And man, you want to talk about entertaining shit. There was a time where R-Truth was one of the most popular acts on the show and had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand with that shit. I'm sure you remember it very vividly, Snug. Back then when The Rock had originally returned, and this was going to be the first, this was the once in a lifetime. This is before their rematch. This was the once in a lifetime where they had a build for a year. And then all of a sudden, Awesome Truth has a problem with John Cena. And who comes to the rescue to be his tag partner? The Rock. And Truth puts him the best work of his career down at that point. And he was a heel going up against Cena. So now the roles are reversed, where he's a face going up against a heel Cena. And what I loved about this is that when you look at the little Jimmy stuff, when you look at everything, and yes, Ron Killings, R-Truth is older than John Cena. However, R-Truth is that guy who grew old but never grew up. He has that innocence about him that feels very genuine because of who he is as a person. If you've ever seen him in interviews, you ever heard seen people talk about him, they genuinely have nothing but positive things to say about him. They say how wholesome Truth genuinely is as a person, how childlike he is in his humor and his heart. And you can get that through the character in his promo.
Even Vince McMahon loved him. That fool doesn't like anybody. Even
that's the big thing. One of the most famous wrestling pictures of the last 20 years is R-Truth making Vince McMahon laugh so hard Vince closes his fucking eyes and is turning red. A freeze frame of Vince literally going, and R-Truth making him laugh. Because if there's one thing people know about Vince, shitbag of a human being, he loves comedy. And he loved his comedy wrestlers. And he, and even that the Netflix documentary cited, Vince loved things that made him laugh, and he would try to always write things into stories that made him laugh. He wanted stuff that made him entertained. That's why he loved R-Truth. That's why R-Truth has been around as long as he has been in the WWE, because Vince loved him, and he was very close to R-Truth. They were very good friends behind the scenes. So when I see this, and I see Truth speaking for all of the kids that John turned his back on, the line that I'm glad no one said that I'm going to get to say that I thought was the most poignant part of this. John, you say you're going to ruin wrestling? Okay, so I know what I have to do. So in order for me to save wrestling, I got to save you. Okay, I'm going to do it. And I thought that was one of the best lines ever. You want to ruin wrestling. So in order to save wrestling, I have to save wrestling. Because John Cena, for the last 25 years, when you think of pro wrestling, you think of John Cena. You just do. It's synonymous. From the 80s to the very late 90s, when you thought of wrestling, you thought of Hulk fucking Hogan. You just did. There are very few faces that pop into a wrestling fan's head that are synonymous. When you say, hey, I go to church, or I'm religious, first thing that pops in your head is Jesus. When you say, oh, I'm a Marvel fan, first thing that pops in your head is Spider-Man or Iron Man. First. You say, I love DC Comics. You think of Batman or you think of Superman. When you think of pro wrestling, you think of Hulk Hogan, or you think of John Cena. Those are the first two motherfuckers that come to mind, period, point blank. You're lying to yourself if you're saying it's not true. They are the logos, the images ingrained in professional wrestling as a face of what the entity of the sport is. Period, point blank, print that shit. It's true. So in speaking of truth, the truth will set you free. The truth is, in order to save pro wrestling, R-Truth has to save pro wrestling. What a promo. As far as this being for a quick build, for those saying that this is stupid, it doesn't make sense, R-Truth doesn't deserve it, fuck you. He's never had a world title opportunity in the last 15 years. In fact, he's earned and deserved this. He is what toxic?
Okay, so last week, Joe Tessitore confirmed it that this is not for the title.
It's not.
This is not. It's not for the title.
Okay, so it's not for the title. Thank you, Toxic. Scratch that from the record. It's not for the title. But this is definitely going to be the main event. So it's the first main event for Truth since, God, I think Survivor Series against The Rock and John Cena. I think this might be the first main event he's been in 13 years, 14 years. That says a lot, right? Because you have all these people coming after John, right? Not to save his soul. They're coming after him for his championship, right? That's what Cody's going to want when he comes back. That's what whoever wins Money in the Bank is going to want when they win it. That's what Randy Orton wanted, to put a notch in the belt on his title history. Truth is the only one who's coming after him just to save him from himself. That's why this story is great. Because it's not about a title. It's about a man's soul and his morality. And this guy going, I love you too much to watch you slip into the darkness. That I'm going to pull you out because no one else is trying to. They're just trying to reach out to you to grab that thing hanging from your waist. But you can leave that shit in the dark. I just want you. And that's why this is such a great story. Even as short as it's been told, there's a payoff here. Because they've been Truth's been talking about John Cena being his hero for 2 years now. So for people saying this is pointless, then you haven't been fucking paying attention. Because they've been sowing the seeds for this for 2 fucking years. I'm excited for this. As ridiculous as it sounds, I'm excited for R-Truth versus John Cena. And you know what? I don't think it's that ridiculous. In fact, I think it's a fresh matchup with a fresh change of pace, with a fresh story circumstance, and it's actually really heartwarming. And I think pro wrestling needs that levity every now and again. Tell me if I'm telling lies.
Okay. I agree with everything that everyone has said so far. I think it's only been Blood. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I just
BT as well.
Yeah,
I was about to say, hello. This one.
Okay, Tommy, shut up. Anyways, I there's just one thing that I feel like John Cena doesn't have his soul because it's quote unquote with The Rock. No, I feel like John Cena's soul is in the championship and not literally. And when someone takes that, Cena's not going to be heel anymore. He's going to realize what he's done. He's going to realize what he said. And he's going to admit that he was the one in the wrong. And I feel like that's what Truth, either Truth wants that for Cena, or he wants to take the title so he can say that. But I just think that this should be for the title, because when's the last time Truth had a world championship opportunity, Mr. Blood? Since you... Zero? Okay, yeah. R-Truth for Undisputed WWE Champion. Sign me the fuck up.
All right, so... I am going to say this because almost none of you have. You knew it was going to be an actual serious promo that he hasn't had in quite some fucking time. It has been a bit since the last time we saw R-Truth put out an actual serious promo. It has been a bit. But the first thing I noticed, when he came out, the first thing I said, you're coming out without the mic? Your whole trademark thing of you singing your own entry music as you're coming out, for tonight you've dropped that? Like, that's when I knew that this wasn't going to be the same old joke promo that he's put out before. That's when I knew that when he looked at this, he was looking at it under a serious eye. That he was actually trying to be serious with this. With the fact that he didn't do his little goofy entrance that he does where he comes out and raps his own theme music on the spot. Him coming out without that mic and without him doing that showed how serious this promo was actually going to be. And I am going to call out one man. Soto, you trickster motherfucker. To explain, the ending of the show from this promo to the end, I was watching Soto's stream, in which his immediate response, as soon as Truth stops talking, was to start to play the John Cena theme. He was playing the John Cena theme for that one point where Truth was just not talking for about 5-10 seconds.
Yeah, when he was pulling a Tommy.
He decided to play the theme, and I'm just like, you trickster motherfucker. That would have been great, but still.
He trolled you?
He trolled me, yeah. Yeah, he absolutely trolled me with that. But to go back to the promo itself, I loved it because, as I've said, this is the first serious promo from him in a minute. It has been a bit since the last time we have seen R-Truth actually be serious. And I absolutely will say that Vince did love R-Truth. He truly did. As you guys have already said, he put in stuff that made him laugh. Oh, okay. That's happening. It's only on the Blood's end, it seems. But, but this is what I'm going to say. You are truly right when you say that Vince loved shit that made him laugh. It's the entire reason why Truth has been here as long as he has. It's also the entire reason why Xavier Woods had his fucking trombone. He had it out for one night and then went to the back. And this is from Xavier Woods. He truly said this. He had the trombone that one night, went to the back, and Vince McMahon was laughing his ass off. And then that is when that trombone ended up having its name and was just like a pure part of the team. He put in shit that made him laugh his ass off. And that is what I love most when it comes to Truth. It's the fact that he can be hilarious as all hell, but he also has his moments where he knows for a fact that he has to be serious. And this was one of those moments where he looked at it and was just like, this is that moment where I have to be serious with this. And I just cannot make jokes here. And I love the fact that he acknowledged that.
Right on. Well, good thing we don't have to wait very long so we can see that fucking match. As far as it being in the main event, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the main event, but most likely because it's John Cena. But yeah, we're out of time, you guys. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was the LA Knight, the triple threat match. LA Knight won the qualifying match, but we already pretty much talked about him. So I think we're good for tonight, you guys. We will meet again probably after Saturday night's main event to talk about what happens there. And yeah, we'll see you guys soon. Until next time, let's get the fuck up out of here. My name is Edgar. I'm the host. Team No Ye, goodbye.
Four letters.
Four letters.
One word.
Peace. God, goodness.